From the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
I don't hear her.
I don't hear her.
Oh, you turned her down.
I turned her off.
Oh, you turned her off.
You know, now I've been here for over 3 years. And I still lack basic knowledge of the board, apparently.
Apparently so. How's it going, Joshua?
You know, I'm doing good. It's been a very busy couple of weeks.
I can see right now, just by your very body language, that you're in some sort of forward motion. The leg is going.
Yeah, dude. My leg's always vibrating.
Yeah.
It's always waiting for the next move.
That's right.
It's anticipating the next set of options in life. Yeah. We're here, of course. John Wright is with us here.
Good evening. Good day.
Good day.
We can't say good evening because people listen to this at all sort of times.
Yeah, so we can say good.
Good life.
Good life. Actually, if we were Australians, we would say good day.
Because
good day,
mate.
Covers anything on the day. I have a friend in Australia.
You do?
You have a friend
in Australia? I do. His name is Zane.
Zane
Austin.
Zane. Mm. Does he talk like this?
He does.
I
have him on Snapchat and he always sends me videos of him and his sister.
Does he say, crikey? Does he say that a lot?
I've never heard him say it.
Throw another shrimp on the barbie!
Does he ever say the word wallaby?
Tie me kangaroo down, sport. Tie me kangaroo down. Tie me kangaroo down, sport. Tie me kangaroo down. All together now.
Tie the kangaroo down, sport. Tie the kangaroo down. Anyways, we have Ashley here. That's the female voice in our presence.
Hello, Ashley.
Hi, guys.
And Ashley, correct me if you're wrong, or if I'm wrong, but you have a friend in Australia?
I do.
Okay. Now, Ashley is what year at Parker High?
I'm a junior.
She is a
11th
junior.
11th grade.
Junior at Parker High. And you are how old?
I am 16. I turn 17 this Saturday.
Hey! Yeah.
And as I understand it, you have a friend in Australia.
Yes.
How old is your friend in Australia?
He is 17.
Oh, there you go. All right, Mike.
He shows cattle, so that's how I kind of met him. I was on Instagram, and he's like, hey, you show... He saw that I showed goats, and he always wanted to show a goat. I always wanted to show a steer, and we show each other's animals.
So. A steer? You know,
there's a little romantic connection there, you know?
Do you think there's a little romance?
Well, he lives in Australia. Let's be
honest. Oh, I see.
The likelihood of ever actually meeting this person in person is slim to none. But, you know, with world travel being what it is, perhaps someday, Mike.
Maybe.
So she is here because there's a lot – this young woman – she is one hell of a weightlifter. In fact, she has
I've heard that.
Placed and actually taken home many titles at competitions, correct?
Definitely.
And podcast listeners will remember her from before. Why was she in before? Did you have a record that you broke or something?
Yeah. I've come in before like twice for my powerlifting.
But only once on the podcast,
yeah,
right?
Once on my show.
Yeah.
I raised you upwards of $20.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Say Josh Telethon is an effective
telethon.
Yeah, it was a telethon. I had somebody call it. I'll give $20.
I like that.
I think somebody did 100, actually, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
right?
Gibbs Repair.
Yeah, Gibby.
Very nice.
Gibby did $100. And, of course, that money was so you could so it could help get you to Las Vegas where the Nationals were. Were the World? Was it World or Nationals?
This one was World Championships in Vegas.
Okay, and how did you do there as an update?
I got first place.
Hey!
World champion!
Yes.
Ashley Hoban. What'd you place first in?
In the 132 pound category. Mm-hmm. And that was for 16, 17-year-olds.
Okay.
Wow.
And so I did the full power category. So.
And how much do you have to lift on that? Like, what did you lift?
A lot. I honestly don't remember exactly how much, but I know that my bench was around 120. My squat was around 200. And my deadlift was
I can't figure it out.
Around 300.
Does Zane know this, that you lift this much?
No.
Is he intimidated by it? You should tell him. Zane is her Australian friend, Josh.
Yep.
Would you like to go visit this Zane at some point?
Yeah, it'd be cool because he lives
How old is Zane?
He's 17 and he lives on a ranch
So
in
same
Australia.
Same age as you. Do you know what part of Australia?
Cobber Petty.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
It's near like the opal mines.
Cobber Petty.
Opal mines.
Yes.
No, there are opal mines over there.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you know what an opal is?
Opal is a precious stone, John.
Yeah. And about 95% of it's all found in Australia.
Lot of stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff like that. Like, for example, blood diamonds are strictly found in Africa. Of course, that's right. Diamonds, they aren't a type of diamond as much as the method they go about getting the diamonds, where people are basically murdered and slaughtered for the diamonds. Oh. But anyways, that's jewelry. It's another show. Maybe Doris wedding season. We're talking about engagement ring options.
So, watch me wallabies feed. Mike, watch me wallabies feed.
So as Asa can tell, this is a lot less professional on the podcast than it is on other radio.
Well, you know, look, we're having a little fun. But
I'm having some fun. But
the point is, Josh and I would both like to see you go to visit this Zane. Isn't that right, Josh?
I would like to see her go down under.
I would like Australia, to see Mike. You go to Australia.
But this is not where you're heading. What do you have coming up as far as your competition? What do you have coming up?
Down the pike.
I have a meet coming up in May. I have two, actually, in May. One is on the 9th and the other's on the 30th. And the first one is, again, over at Captain CrossFit where I just competed. And that's for the world qualifiers for the AAU sports.
Okay.
And then the 30th is the 100% Raw Powerlifting Federation's national championships.
Oh, wow. Hmm. And that's where?
That is in Tucson the Evolution Fitness Gym.
I had this idea before you came in because I mean this really is a strong girl. I mean she is solid. When you look at her from across the way, let's say at Walmart, and you see her and you're like, oh, what an unsuspecting, cute, sweet young woman. surely there's not an ability to harm a thing. And then you hear that she's deadlifting 300 pounds, squatting 200 pounds.
It's like the Terminator.
She's bench pressing a house and squatting your mama. That's what this lady's doing.
That's right. Now, were you going to maybe arm wrestle?
That's what I was getting to. I was going to arm wrestle you on the podcast because I thought, well, geez. And then I
like this
guesses.
Idea.
I thought, you know, if I arm wrestle her and, I lose.
Right. Problem.
This is a problem. I'm going to immediately I'm quitting all my jobs and I'm moving in with my parents. And because are you kidding me? I can't work.
No.
Obviously I'm disabled. So, cause I lost to someone 20 years younger than me.
Yes.
And a girl, which is okay. Cause it's okay to lose to women.
It's sometimes. Okay.
I've been married before. I understand that. the fact is, my dad would then have to get out of retirement to work. My mom would cater to me. I'd be like, Mom, I want strong enough.
It's a problem.
I don't want to go down that road.
No.
So we're not arm wrestling. plus, you walked in with a what is this?
A sling?
You have a sling.
Yeah.
You have a sling on your arm. What you're talking about competing and then you walk in here and it's like, you've
this
been to the
is
mash
only
unit.
Temporary. I promise you, this is only temporary.
Ashley, is there any demonstration of your sheer power that you could make right here and right now?
Grr.
She did a grr. She did a grr. I don't know about you, Josh, but I'm frightened.
What you all didn't see was that there was a large object placed on the ground that she looked at.
Wow, no, this is crazy.
If you want, are there like a video? You post some videos of the competitions on your Facebook page.
I did last time, and my brother had some on his Snapchat, which not everybody obviously has access to.
Well, you can imagine.
I would.
You could. If I was your parent,
I would have lots of videos of that.
No,
to prove
this is impressive. So in May you have two competitions, one of which is one is a qualifier and one is a national championship in Tucson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're obviously hoping to do well.
Yes, I am hoping, but I enjoy it. Like even if I don't get a lift up or if I do mess up, I'm still happy. Like I'm here competing and it's where I belong. I love it.
Yeah, you seem to have a passion for it.
Yeah,
like the whole thing.
I do.
That's awesome.
Now this is an interesting dynamic because, you know, for the most part, people understand high school and the social dynamic of high school to be what it is they hear in the news. Bullies everywhere, guns and sex and blah, blah, blah.
Rock and
but
roll.
There is a certain element of that on levels in every school. But I will ask you this. Since doing the powerlifting, since competing and actually holding now a world title in that sense, have you seen a change of the way you are treated, the way you're accepted, the way overall socially that things go down?
Actually, everybody now tells me that I'm too cool for them.
Oh, so it's a huge shift. It's a huge swing.
It's
right?
a shift.
So here's the thing. Hate is going to hate no matter what.
Potato's going to potate.
Potato's going to potate.
Yes.
He's going to hate,
right.
hate.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Because before, it's like, oh, the whatever, look at her. And then also it's like, she's too good for her. Like, dude. Like, seriously.
Is there no sweet spot here?
I know.
I think the moral of the story, and John, correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
and that is you need to get to Australia to visit Zane.
That's what we're saying.
He actually sponsored this last bit.
This Zane.
Zane wants you to come over there.
Yes.
Actually, no, the point is that you need to just be
hold
yourself.
Hold me koala
no
back,
what.
Jack.
Definitely.
Be hold me koala back.
Point is, you just need to be yourself.
Yes. Definitely be yourself.
That? What was that accent from?
It's almost Michael Craig. Michael Caine here.
Yeah.
No, you just need to be yourself without an accent. Just be yourself, and the people are going to love you in life are going to mm-hmm. love you. The people who are not going to love you, they're not going to love you.
That's
be
right.
you. That's all you can be. And if you as a power lifter, do it.
I'm go honestly surprised I'm not tired of people touching my arms like, oh, my gosh, what if you break my fingers?
Oh, you never get tired of that.
No, it's the attention.
It's the attention. It's like, well, yes, yes, you may feel that arm.
That's right.
I get a lot of people asking if they can touch my stomach to see if I have abs.
Mm-hmm. And
are they
you?
About 40, 42? You should steer clear of those dudes.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. They're usually little freshmen.
Oh, you should steer clear of those dudes, too.
Yeah. Just steer clear of all dudes.
Ashley, can I touch your stomach?
No. The answer is always no to that.
How about no, you crazy no. bastard?
Like, if anybody comes, can I touch your stomach? Be like, get out of here, weirdo. Honestly, these types have sock collections. At home.
Sock collection.
Seriously.
Yeah.
To steer clear of them.
They do. They collect things.
Jeez. So good luck with the
unlike
upcoming...
Zane, who doesn't collect anything.
Zane just collects his friends in America.
Tan me hard when I'm dead. Fred, tan me hard when I'm dead.
That's an Australian song for everyone. It's so easy to write music in Australia.
Ralph Harris. Yeah. Who's a pedophile. Anyway, go ahead.
On that note, thanks for coming. No, so you have two competitions coming up in May.
No, he is.
How's rest of the summer shaping up for you?
He's in prison. June 11th, I have to travel to Mesquite, Nevada, which is like an hour north of Vegas.
Mesquite, Nevada.
And it's at the Casablanca Resort and Hotel, like the casino.
Oh, do you love these events?
The White House.
You just love these times when you travel to do this?
I do, because you get to go out of your hometown. You get to go travel and sightsee.
And represent?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of people actually who've actually come up to me before and said, wow, I've seen you before. Why do you look so familiar? And I'm like, I powerlift. And they're like, oh, yeah, you were at that one meet. And they'll recall exactly what
wow,
meet they've
crazy.
Seen.
Crazy.
About that. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And does it help you stay focused in school as well? I mean,
it does, because actually my first hour, I lift for an hour and a half.
That's how you start your day.
I start my morning by lifting.
What time at?
8.
Do you do this at the school?
I do.
And you do it at the gym?
Yeah. And I train with mostly guys who are like twice my size.
Holy mackerel. Are you the only girl that does this pretty much at Parker High or no?
Yes,
you
I
are.
Am okay. the only one.
One of a kind right there.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Do they accept you?
They do.
That's
they
do. Good.
Yes.
That's good. A couple probably even like her, to be honest.
No.
I remember what it was like in high school. Dude, come on.
You would? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably. All scared of me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's attraction and it's magical teenage ways. let me ask you this. Have you ever had an important question that you wanted to ask somebody and you totally forget?
I do.
Okay.
I have that problem.
That's just
probably five times a day.
That's just what happened. That's just what happened. I had this great question. So you have a workout regimen.
I do.
Correct. And you have a diet that you follow?
Kind of, yes.
Is it a typical teenage diet where it's like, I don't go overboard, but I'm also not very strict because I'm going to burn it off?
Sometimes it depends on how close a competition is. I do have a lot of meat in my diet.
Okay.
Always a lot of protein. And I don't, like, if I do have dessert, it's never chocolate. It's always vanilla, straight, like, just vanilla.
Ice cream.
Ice cream, yeah.
Vanilla ice cream.
Or like for a pies, it would probably be like pecan pie, maybe.
Mm, I like a good pecan
Ooh,
pie.
Yes.
Pecan.
Pecan pie.
Pecan.
You know, I make a good pecan pie with a wallaby. Wallaby pecan.
Play your didgeridoo, Blue. Play your didgeridoo.
There's a whole lot of words that rhyme today on
definitely.
The Parker Live cast. So you come from good genes. This is,
yes.
I think this is important.
I think Zane would like that.
I think Zane would like that.
I think Zane would very much like that.
Well, we wish you luck.
World champion.
World champion.
World champion. I'm going for my second title.
And good luck with your trip to Australia to see this.
You'll say Jane. Zine.
Jane.
Jane and Zine. Jane's your sister. Zine has a wallaby and some cattle.
Right.
They go moo.
They go moo.
They go moo.
Toy me kangaroo down.
Does it have
Sport.
Butters?
Toy
it
me
moo?
Kangaroo down.
World champion Ashley Hoban.
Yay!
Is there anything else you would like to share?
Actually, I do, because it is now that time of year where I'm trying to save up a little extra money just mm-hmm. to go to these competitions, since I have two extra this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I am starting to ask for funds and
okay.
stuff.
Sponsorships.
Sponsorships. Yes.
So how would one go about doing that? Do you have a GoFundMe page or anything
Actually,
like that?
Actually, I just started one.
Boom, boom.
I started
hey.
One.
It's almost as though you knew the answer to that question before you asked it, Josh.
It's almost as if. Almost.
Okay.
So do you have, so what is it? What's the information? So if somebody wants to support you, they can go to GoFundMe.org.
GoFundMe.org. And basically, you'll search under the local app. Tab mm-hmm. and I'll be under there along with
she'll be under the local abs.
Local abs.
Yes.
Now that's if they are local. If this is someone in say Southern California or beyond who's listening to the live cast, okay.
they will be able to put in my name.
And spell your name for that?
A-S-H-L-E-Y. Okay.
Ashley.
Hoban. H-O-B-A-N.
Okay. Hoban.
And your social? No, don't do that.
No, don't no.
Do How that. Do you spell Z-A-N-E?
Yes.
Yes.
Zine.
Okay.
So
all
there
right.
so hopefully if you are impressed with this young lady, as we are and as the community is, and mm-hmm. you have a few extra bucks that you can spare, don't send it to Sarah McLaughlin's dogs.
Never do that.
The angel. Send it over here to Ashley, GoFundMe.org, Ashley Hoban.
And if you are local and you're not very technologically advanced, mm-hmm. you can always hop on over to Johnny's Barbershop, the Mike's Barbershop.
Mike's Barbershop. Joshua Avenue, right here in Park, across from mm-hmm. Joshua Street Mall.
Don't go in there if you're scared of animal heads.
There are animal heads on the wall.
A lot of taxes.
Tell you what, do this. Go in there with a $20 or a $50 or a $100 bill. If you bring loose change, Johnny will shave a mohawk into your head. And take it up to the mouth of the mounted head of the animal mm-hmm. and place the money in the mouth.
Deposit it in the mouth.
Deposit it in the mouth of the winter boar.
Right.
Or
what a lot of people don't know is that boar actually wrestled to death.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that boar got in second place in the last championship.
That's right.
And this is how she is now world champion. She beat the boar.
You beat the boar. That's what we've heard.
Yes.
Zane
yes.
would love that, I think.
That should be your motto. Ashley Hoban, beat the boar.
Beat the boar.
That's your campaign for yeah. 2015. You can have that.
Is that what Zane is attracted to, do you think?
When
probably,
women beat the boar?
Yeah, right. Out in the outback, we beat lots of boars.
Do they have boars? I'm sure they do. Pigs are everywhere, right?
Outback, yes.
Yeah.
They are.
Kangaroos,
yeah.
crocodiles.
All kinds of stuff, dude.
Yeah.
They have these little chipmunk looking things, and I guess they're like
chipmunks.
The happiest. They're like the Kodak or something like that, and they're like the happiest animals on Earth, and they're always smiling. They're so cute. And they're only in Australia.
Nobody did tell you is that
they grind on a grill.
Their saliva contains a neurotoxin that is extremely deadly to humans.
Yes. Which is why one should never eat their tongue.
So if you ever hear and you go, cute, that's a signal to bite you in the neck.
That's a signal to get the hell out of there.
Oh, cute.
Never do that.
Ashley, thanks for coming in and putting up with this ridiculous.
Thank you, Ashley.
Oh, no problem. I enjoy it.
Again, Ashley Hoban, world champion.
Woo!
Ashley Hoban, go to GoFundMe.org. Check it out.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Ashley, good luck with you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Yes, here on the Parker Livecast, we are very excited to have here on Skype, John T. May. How you doing, John?
Pretty good. You know, I originally was a Parker boy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you're, what do you do now and where do you live now?
I'm in Boston right now. And, my day job is in marketing. So I do like, social media advertising, that sort of thing. I'm kind of like consulting right now because I do like, copywriting and I do, Facebook and social media and all that stuff.
Nice.
And when I'm not doing that, it's kind of like a Batman thing, right? It's like what you do during the day, and then you get to put your Batman hat on at night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
put your cowl on. And I get to make short films and work on media stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it's very, you're everybody has like that superhero persona, that alter ego, if you will.
Everybody has 10 resumes, you know?
Yeah. That's us, dude. Like both Josh and I are like that.
Yeah, that really is like us. We have like too many little things.
I got too many irons in the fire.
Too many irons in the fire, man. That's how that goes. Well, I was looking at all the stuff because I see you post things also on Facebook as well. But you, I saw some of the information for some of the things you're involved with. You have a podcast that you do every week. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a weekly podcast. We record on Tuesday nights. Usually we're pretty good about posting within a week. I mean, it's not a live show, so the whole thing is like, you know, our guests are always wondering like, oh, you know, when is this going to come out? And I'm like, I used to be pretty good about posting them immediately, but then I wanted to get better. It allows you to put content out there. It doesn't mean it's going to be good, and by no means it doesn't say anybody's going to be talented. I guess that's the difference. Now everybody can make everything, but it doesn't mean that you know, you're going to find like the cream of the crop right away.
Right. It's
like
the ones that work will be the good ones.
Yeah. You still need talent. You still need talent despite the ability. You still need the talent to do it.
Because it's true. You could speak to 8 people every week, and that would be fine, and I'm sure you could waste your time doing that. Or, you know, if you really started to hone the craft a little bit, learn what works, learn what doesn't, learn what audiences want, try to, you know, really do something good, then you could have more and you could actually build an audience. Like, but it does take people to be good to do that.
I'm upwards of 17 listeners now on my show.
Yes.
And it's taken 3 years of marketing.
Hard work.
No, it's at least 19 if you count my parents.
Right.
So so this gentleman you're speaking with, John, how old are you, John?
I like to say that I'm 29 for the next 3 years.
That's good.
That's what you got to do as an actor. You got to keep yourself like in that pocket, that sweet little pocket where they can keep casting you as this slightly aging 20 something for, you know, almost 20 years. You know what I mean? You want to just slide that in there.
Yeah,
but I'm 31. So 31. I'm like in that sweet spot of being completely lost is what they call a millennial.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's why I have 10 resumes. Because, you know, I took the time to go to film school. But I went at a time where like YouTube was just getting started. So it was like film was dying and YouTube was starting. So it was like an in-between. Don't know what to do with all these guys. And when we left school, we had no idea what our careers were going to be.
Where'd you go to film school?
Oh, I went to film school in Santa Monica, and then I did like extensions to go to UCLA for screenwriting. But I ended up at just like a trade school. I went to the Art Institute of California, Los Angeles, which
right on.
Anybody has ever gone there, you hear about us on the news all the time because we can't pay back those student loans, you know?
Yeah, because it's very expensive. It's very expensive.
It is expensive.
Yeah. It's one of those
private schools. Few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, I was at USC in LA, and I don't know if you've ever been there. The School of Cinematography there is like incredible. Like they've got like the Spielberg room and like the Lucas studio. Like they're all. And it's just like I look at these guys that are doing school there, a film school there, and I'm just like, wow, the opportunity that they have to really learn. But then I was talking to a filmmaker on Friday who I was interviewing because his movie is screening here all week.
Travis Hamilton.
Yeah. I was talking to him, and he's like, yeah, but you know what they're learning at USC Film School? How Hollywood does it. And it's not necessarily how you'd want to do it if you were trying to break out of the mold.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a whole different model when it comes. Well, there is. There's a whole other model when you're talking about if you're looking at film or anything visually conceptual on YouTube, anything that's on a vlog or video wise compared to the way Hollywood does it. Jeez, I mean,
but that thing was that thing
Hollywood
is incredible.
Industrial thing is kind of complicated because it wants to follow its formula that's been following for, you know, 150 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't – a film will come along and it'll break that mold and it won't follow that formula, and then everybody wants to make that movie. So then you see these –
Yeah, and it becomes a new formula.
Exactly. And instead of like understanding the big lesson, which is no formulas.
Yeah, don't have a formula.
Right.
Keep it interesting.
But you know, and I know it's the money men with the formulas. They're very risk averse, let's say.
I'm gonna go down a list of descriptors here for you, John, and correct me if any of them are wrong or correct me if I didn't add any in there. So you've you're a screenwriter.
Yeah, I've what was interesting, when I was leaving school, I was trying to get work, and I got work as a writer's assistant. And so I was working for writers that were attached to projects at like HBO and Disney development and stuff like that. And you know, I was doing a lot of script coverage, and then I was writing scripts, but not as myself. I was doing a lot of doctoring, ghostwriting, and I thought, oh, this is an easy way to start to make a living as a writer. But that was kind of a fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? Because I wasn't doing – it wasn't really honorable. Like, at some point, I don't want to say I had a meltdown, but I definitely came to a point where I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore because it's not me – going out there to succeed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That wasn't a model that was going to be successful in the long term. But there's also three kinds of filmmakers. There's the ones that, you know, give life to things, right? That's what they consider their films to be. Then there's the ones that think of it specifically as a piece of art. And then there's the group that understands that they're products. And it's hard to know which one of those filmmakers you want to be at any given moment in your career. And a lot of us will get stuck on the product end. When really, like, I realized kind of too late that I was really only concerned about breathing life to things and, like, going from one stage of the process to the other. And now with things like social media and crowdfunding and really having an understanding of what things I want to tell, you know, make as a storyteller. Mm-hmm. Now I have an understanding, but I had to fall on my nose for 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, geez. I had to leave film school and kind of unlearn what they taught me. And get away from the industry to understand what about it I actually valued.
Yeah, too bad that didn't happen 10 years earlier, right? But that's all part of that process.
Exactly. So. Yep. You know, you got to go through your 20s to understand who you're going to be essentially for the rest of your life. I think that's what it amounts to.
So really. When did you live in Parker, John?
Let's see. From like ages 9 to 16.
Wow, that's pretty formative years.
So you were there 9 to 16, so you were roughly – you went to Wallace, right? You went to Wallace?
Yeah, I did.
And the junior high there also, and then you were also
I went through Blake Element. It was Blake, right?
Blake,
I went through there before they rebuilt it.
Yeah.
So I went through those two schools, did Parker High just a little bit. I was a Bronc a little bit. I actually was the mascot.
Oh, my hey. You were the Bronc, man.
I was, and they wrote a rule book about me because I was a little extreme during my Bronc.
Wow. If there's anything that I'm going to take away from this, it's that you had to, dude, that is awesome. That is legend status right there. They had to write a rule book because of
your actions.
Yeah, and
I didn't know that I was a fan favorite until, like, I missed a couple of games. They're like, where's the Bronc, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the Bronc,
locked
dude?
Up in the gym, you know?
He's breaking into cars in the parking lot. That's
cool.
You're shoplifting. What were some of the things you did? You were just extreme, like you really got into it. And
yeah, I just I did things like I climbed things I wasn't supposed to climb. I ran in between the rival cheerleaders group during their routines and somersaulting during the marching band's routines, and you know, just like physical stunts, you know, that I learned from, you know, absorbing all the Laurel and Hardy movies, you know what I mean? So stuff like that.
Well, I know, and plus that assault charge against the Dysart coach. I know you got that cleared up, right? that would be a horrible thing for a mascot to do. And then the Bronc punched my coach. That was horrible.
Yeah.
So let's see some other things you've done. Comedian, actor, radio host for the 9 years, accolades as finalist for multiple years in the Nickel Fellowship in screenwriting.
Yeah, you can call me the contest kid, you know.
Look at this.
I've been through. I thought like a good way to get your name out there is like, let's try these screenwriting contests.
Yeah.
Let's aim for the biggest one. The biggest one is like the Nichols Fellowship in Screenwriting, which is sponsored by the Academy Awards. They give 5 new writers an opportunity every year to get a screenwriting grant that amounts to something like $30,000, and you get to go down to the Academy. Your script gets locked away in their vault, their library there. You get to show up at the Academy Awards in your tuxedo or, you know, what have you, and go to the big party and hopefully get an agent and move on with your screenwriting career.
Yeah. Well, they also have you come down to stage, too. I remember they have you come down on the stage, too, and they recognize you.
Yeah, during the live broadcast. And now with again, it all goes back to social media. Now they're doing, like, the live tweeting from the awards and all that stuff with this group of writers. Well, I was like the number 6 guy, so they only give 5 away. I was number 6 a couple years in a row.
Oh, man.
And then I entered some other screenplay contests that were pretty big, and it seemed to be my thing. I would get to the final round, and that was what I became. So I kind of like nicknamed myself the contest kid.
The contest kid. There you go.
Yeah. Well, and then talking to other writers, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, you can go out and get some accolades. So we'll teach the industry that maybe you got some talent behind you. Maybe you have some moxie that's worth looking into. But essentially, they're money industries.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not necessarily going to propel you to the next level of your career. So you're going to kind of tread lightly. And that's what I would say for new writers out there that could be, who knows, they could be sitting there in Parker, you know, sophomore year in high school, and they've got a screenplay or something, and they want to go out into the world and make movies. My two recommendations, to be completely honest with you, is not to go to film school and possibly not to enter a screenplay contest, but to maybe become content creators on a thing like YouTube or Vimeo or something like that, and just really push things out there and get it seen, get it through the you know, mass of other things that are out there, and really make some content that's worth taking a few minutes to watch. You know,
I think you're right, and the rules are changing. I mean, it's like, because everybody can do this stuff now, it changes the rules a little bit on how to do it. If you find the audience, you can actually do it organically now, right?
Yeah. Podcasting for me was kind of a happy accident. I didn't think I was going to stick into that medium necessarily, but I got to this point where me and my buddy, he's a director and a cinematographer. And like I said, I do the comedy thing, and I've been in and out of comedy clubs and stuff like that. I started at the Comedy Store on the Sunset Strip, the club that's owned by Shore and Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that go? was it difficult to get on stage there?
Well, it depends on how many really warm bodies you can bring to a show, because they do this thing in comedy. I'm sure you're familiar with the bringer show concept.
Yeah,
how many heads can you?
Yeah,
can
bring your audience, but it's better for you because then you have people that are laughing and then familiar and supporting you. So it's really, you know, in your best interest. But yeah, they want asses in the seats, as they say.
Asses in the seats.
Yeah. It's a good idea, except for there are other comedians that could be higher up on the food chain than you that will take advantage of you bringing a personal audience with you.
Okay.
That's the only downside. Like the idea that they would take your stage time and try to pull your audience to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it can be abused. You know what I mean? They can abuse the power if you're like on somebody else's showcase or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that's one way of doing it. The other way to do it is just do alternative comedy, like get on podcasts, make YouTube videos,
right,
and kind of create your image and really kind of see how you can branch out on your own. I mean, it's an experiment, mm-hmm, unless you kind of put together your own like marketing plan that you devise on your own. You know what I mean? Like if you set something up, come up with some kind of plan, mm-hmm, and you set these goals. Otherwise, you can get lost in the stream of consciousness that is the internet, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know you have a lot of stuff out there online, one of which is called the Stepdad Experience, which is a project that you've worked on. I'm reading here, there's a description, a dark comedy about a man-child losing it when his mom is getting remarried for the umpteenth time, and he pays an actor to portray his stepfather. Now, I made it to this scene right here, and I'm going to have you listen to this. He should be able to hear this?
Yeah, he should be able to hear
this. And I want you to walk me through this scene after we hear it.
Hey, new daddy, come wipe my ass. Maybe next time you don't give me a bomb burrito for breakfast. Lesson learned for both of us. Potty training like a champ. With a potty dance? I'm doing a potty dance. I'm doing a potty dance? I'm doing a potty dance. 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 Do the potty dance. Do the potty dance. Do the potty dance. Do the potty. Oh shit, the toilet's flooding.
Dude, that is great. Now walk us through that scene.
All right. What you're saying is, I think that's the third or fourth scene in the movie.
Yeah.
My character is basically trying to exploit this guy that he's hired to portray his stepdad. And he's kind of walking through a fantasy of what he might get to experience of taking advantage of a stepfather. And his whole thing is maybe he hasn't actually enjoyed being a stepson in his mother's previous marriages, but now he's going to do it even though he's an adult. He's going to take full advantage of the situation and maybe get to live out some things that, you know, fantasies he didn't get to express when he was going through it before. But what I think is funny about this story is he's essentially a sociopath that finds another sociopath through Craigslist. You know what I mean?
And goes on this experiment. Wow. So are you pulling from some personal experience, or is this purely just a created as far as artificial story?
I got to that point, like, you know, first I started writing all genre stuff, just stuff that I liked, like science fiction, Indiana Jones type stuff, and then you know, in the last couple of years, developing my own voice and coming up with my own style that, like I said, like I learned by a trial by fire and kind of falling on my nose in the industry, was like, yeah, I started just literally pulling things out of my own life and then twisting them into these little situations. And this one serves kind of to be like a sketch. I would say like a sketch film, like taking a sketch out of a comedy routine and kind of exploring it and kind of, you know, making it its own short film. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Now, I'm telling you, what I like is you rock those yellow ducky pajamas the entire time.
Yeah, totally.
Is that an actual onesie that you were wearing?
They're like, let's see, how are they described online? let me think. I imagine those, like, before I got them, I was like, I wonder if these actually exist or if they're going to have to be made. I was like, no. I was like, someone out there must make something like this, right?
Yeah.
So I just looked it up. Yeah, it's like an adult onesie footed pajama.
That's awesome.
Is how it's described. And it has breakaway, you know, it's got that breakaway. If you got to run to the outhouse, it's good to go. You know?
Of course. Yeah, you can't go without that. You need to have the exactly. breakaway. The
little trap door. You need it.
You need that trap door. Now,
especially if you're like a county chili contest. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Following the chili contest, you need that back door.
Or if you're at a La Paz County Fair and you're getting that Indian fry bread taco.
Oh, yeah. The Navajo taco.
Have a couple of those, you know, you're going to be there. You know,
you're
going to love it.
You're going to be in that plastic porta potty, man.
Yeah.
Now, the Binge Watcher podcast, you say is it every Tuesday?
Yeah, we drop new episodes every Tuesday.
All right.
And what's funny about that show is like a happy accident because, like I said, we came to podcasting through kind of a level of frustration and looking for a venue to kind of get our voice out as struggling through the entertainment industry and not knowing how to express that to our friends and family that really didn't understand it from a personal level. And they would talk to us like, well, you spent all this money to go to school and get a bachelor's. Well, what's going on? How come you're not on TV? Or we're not the 1% of the celebrities that are making top dollars. I was like, right. I didn't realize this when I was in school, that there are working class filmmakers that you don't hear about that do 9 to 5 in the industry.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Struggle. So
we've worked with all of them.
And it just like turned into a good thing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Wow.
Well, I love to see people that are passionate about their stuff and actually doing their stuff. And you're one of those people. You can check out the podcast. Head over to iTunes. That's Binge Watchers. You'll look for by John Travis, Nikki T, and the Binge Watchers. Now, so you are married.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Any kids?
Oh, yeah. I got two kids. I have two sons, 5 and 7.
There you go.
And you guys are all living in Boston?
Yeah. Boston John. I'm like the maid that went to Boston. Well, my dad's from Long Island, New York.
Oh, I see.
And then found Parker, you know.
Yeah, how does that happen? There's a story.
How
there.
Did that happen?
Well, I mean, he's a nomad like me. He's a gypsy, you know, explorer. He lived in Tennessee for a little while and settled in Parker. And Parker's interesting because, you know, I don't necessarily believe in magic, but it has a magnetic force that,
yeah,
that draws people
to
the river.
Yeah.
And people that have lived there, it gets in their blood and they will come back. They will be drawn back to it. Mm-hmm. You know?
You're exactly right. A lot of people.
I don't know how to describe that. You know, maybe Josh can describe it since he's Parker tourism, but you know what I mean?
You're right. There is a certain level of magnetism and much like the guide rods of old used to find water in the old West. I do believe we each have our own rods, if you will, that draw towards Parker.
I have a rod right here.
Divining rod, as it's called.
Yes.
No, I was talking about the divine rod, not the divine rod. Yeah. So there's a lot of people doing some pretty cool stuff, and you would be one of those. So way to go.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate hearing that, and it makes me feel good, especially, you know, like I still consider myself a Parker guy. And I hope to bring a bigger movie there. I hope to actually come do some shooting there.
Nice.
Possibly later this year, but I just don't know. As you said, keep your irons in the fire. You don't know which one's going to pop at what time.
Yeah.
I had this vampire movie in development for like 11 months last year. And there's a scene where the main character is flashing back to childhood. And it would have been perfect to shoot down there by the river and the train bridge and everything. But
nice.
That deal is kind of in limbo now.
Mm. Well, that happens a lot.
So. It does happen a lot.
Yeah. Other than that, you know, I just wanted to bring up, I loved your guys' Cruising Through Town episode. That was great.
Yeah.
And then I wondered because I still have friends in Parker. I was like, do I know who they picked up and dropped off? I was like, I wonder if I know.
We had to. That was a conversation between Josh and I.
Yeah, we went back and forth with that.
Because Josh really was pushing for, let's just leave it unaltered, the voice.
Just leave it raw, man.
And then I go, no, you know, it's just too much risk because this is someone who hasn't agreed in any way to be a part of this and also who is sort of self-incriminating herself at certain points in the conversation.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So we thought, you know, at the end of the day, it was like, okay, we got to disguise her voice.
But I mean, there was a conversation rich in proposed drug use and I think sexual favors.
Yeah.
If I was reading correctly.
It was all there.
It's like, that's the kind of situation that a movie gets made out of and it becomes like a Harold and Kumar kind of scenario, right?
Well, there's two Johns and a Josh on here. So it's like, I was like, oh, three J's. That's a sitcom right there.
Three J's. Man. So check John T. May out. Facebook, Twitter, online, Binge Watchers is the podcast. You can check that out on Stitcher or iTunes. And just stay busy and stay positive, and I hope it all continues to work out.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. It was great.
Thank you very much, John. There you go. John T. May, man of the hour right there. Of course, this weekend, the big thing coming up this weekend on the Parker Strip starting Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday is the Lucas Oil Drag Boat Racing Series.
Right. It's the Division One National. It's connected to the American Drag Boat Association. And it's this whole thing. It's like these boats are crazy. The fastest boats on water, I believe. Over 200 miles an hour.
Amazing.
They do a quarter mile. They pretty much vaporize all the fuel in there, nitromethane fuel. It's crazy stuff.
It is amazing.
Very expensive to run. 8,000 horsepower and 10,000 people are expected to be here this weekend for that.
10,000 people. I know that hotels are booked. Campgrounds are filling up.
Right.
And I hope this comes back every
also,
year.
Also, another person who has been on the podcast before, Eddie Knox, who was here on the live cast a few months ago with his drag boat called Problem Child. It's won several records. In fact, it might hold the record for the fastest boat in the world. It is going to be here this weekend. Watch Problem Child this Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's qualifying. Sunday is elimination. And it's the whole thing.
Would you say that's a favorite? I would say Problem Child is always a favorite.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah,
it's got to be one. And if you want to see one of these things in person, you can go over to, although I don't know by the time this podcast drops, it might have been moved, but in the meantime, you might have been able to see it at Parker Oil right on California Avenue in Parker. There's one of these boats. It's called Top Secret.
Now, there's also going to be a show and shine going on at Strokes.
Friday, April 10th at 5:30 p.m.
There you go.
Featuring the Brianna Payne Band.
Brianna Payne, yes.
Do you know that?
Brianna Payne Band, great band. They were there during the Desert Challenge. They had one of those like show and shine kind of scenarios up there for that up at Strokes. Great party. It was a lot of fun. It's the first time I took the motorcycle out last year. Crazy, man. Crazy.
It's
going to be an amazing weekend. It's a bit of an experiment for Parker. We have not had a Lucas Oil event here before. And the people that I speak to in Havasu, they say, prepare yourselves. It's going to be a madhouse. There's a huge following for these kind of events, which we already know because we have the ADBA, we have the Arizona Drag Boat Association. We have them showing up throughout the year. They do events. But this is Lucas Oil. This is televised. There's going to be cameras. There's going to be air coverage. It's a huge.
It's going to be more like Parker 425 crowds.
Exactly.
And the thing about that is Parker is used to that. We know what that is. We do that really well. And I'm with Mike on this. I remember Mike said we could have air shows here. We could have all kinds of stuff that hasn't been here yet, and they just don't know yet that this is the spot, and it is the spot.
Yeah.
And so I think that's true.
People are willing to drive a few hours for a few days of fun.
Especially in a place like this where they can have as much fun as they can here.
Exactly. So
we already have a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. And
book
I'm very thankful Lucas Oil is coming. This is a great event for the town, and I wish it success, and I hope it goes well. And you can watch it this weekend yourself, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days of racing at the Blue Water Resort and Casino on the beautiful shores of the Colorado River.
Josh, that was eloquent. That was beautiful. And may I say this, wasn't even remotely Australian.
It was not even remotely
Not even
Australian.
Remotely. It wasn't even a tiny bit accented.
On the shores of the beautiful Colorado River, mate. Lucas Oil. Drag Boat Racing Series.
I'm not sure that's an Australian accent.
I'm not sure what it is either.
Yeah, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Apparently all I got to do is say the word Zane.
Tie my kangaroo down, sport. Tie my kangaroo down. Tie my kangaroo down, sport. Tie my kangaroo down. All together now. Watch me wallaby jump, mate. Watch me wallaby jump.
So if you or your wallaby would like some racing action.
Yes. You know, it's going to be high 80s in the afternoon, Josh, going up from a low of about 60s in the morning, low 60s, I should say.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, you know, starting your day off at about 62, 64, 65 degrees, mm-hmm. and then headed up to about 88 degrees in the afternoon, right at the shore of the river right there. And I think it's going to be very nice.
That is what we call a beautiful weekend where we're from in the industry. Right there.
In the industry.
Yeah, in the industry. We call that a beautiful weekend. Sunny skies!
All right, are we done?
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it.
Goodbye.
We'll see you next time on the Parker Livecast.
We'll see.
We'll see.
There's an old Australian stockman lying dying. And he gets himself up onto one elbow and he turns to his mates who are gathered around and he says, "Watch me wallabies feed, mate. Watch me wallabies feed. They're a dangerous breed, mate, so watch me wallabies feed all together now.
Tie me kangaroo down, sport, tie me kangaroo down. Tie me kangaroo down, sport, tie me kangaroo down.
Keep me cockatoo cool, curl, keep me cockatoo cool. Oh, don't go acting the fool, curl, just keep me cockatoo cool all together now.
Tie me kangaroo down, sport, tie me kangaroo down. Tie me kangaroo down, sport, tie me kangaroo down.
And take me koala back, Jack, take me koala back. He lives somewhere out on the track, Mac, so take me koala back.
All together then, tie me kangaroo down, sport.